John, I suggest we start.
Hello, this is Ashok.
Hi, Ashok.
Good. Hi, Ashok.
Hi.
I think we're just getting ready to get started, Ashok. You've joined just in time. So. Good afternoon, everyone. We've got two items on the agenda for today, but I think they're all to try and get through. And we're really hoping to be able to get through both of them. One is common practices in and around field value measurement, and the other is an update to the preparer's guide. First topic, field value measurement common practices. I believe Aisha and Rita are going to combine together on that one, so I'll pass it across to Aisha to get us started. Aisha, are you there?
I think, sorry, John, it's Isa and Vivek will start the topic.
Isa and Vivek, who's going to get us started?
I'll do it. Hello, everyone. So we are going to start discussion with the first topic, first agenda paper that was posted on the website. It is related to the proposed update to the IFRS taxonomy on practice analysis that we've done on disclosures related to IFRS 13 fair value measurement. This is the first analysis that we have prepared of the comments that we have received on the proposed taxonomy update. We have another one to come for the next meeting related to general improvements. And both those documents and both those analyses are the preparation for the annual IFRS planning to issue as usual sometime in March. So with that, let's turn over to the background information. So IFRS taxonomy update was published in September with the comment deadline in November. We have received two comment letters, one from Merrill Corporation and the other one was from the Global Financial. On the next two slides, we were trying to summarize for you the comments to kind of show you where was the main agreement, what respondents disagree with our proposals and where there were some small notes that they have mentioned that we were trying to take into account in updating our proposals. In the slides that we are going to hold that whenever respondents agree with our proposals, we didn't include those slides in the slide deck, but we have provided you with references to the proposed taxonomy update. So if you wanted to maybe remind yourself about the proposals, that were related to or the details related to those proposals, you are able to do it, but we are not going to go those today just to save our time. So as you can see, again, this is the slide that is summarizing those comments. So I think with that we will turn over to Vivek and he will start discussing the sensitivity analysis.
Yeah, thank you, Isa. This now slide number 7, change 1. As a result of analysis of common reporting practice, we had proposed a new axis, that is unobservable input axis, that allows to disaggregate information by unobservable input to fair value measurement. This axis has different disclosures, hence it has two references. Slide 8. GFRC suggested to change the type of those references from common practice to disclosure because many members on this axis relate to IFRS practice. We agree that reference to paragraph 93D reflects disclosure requirement, and we propose to change the reference type to disclosure. As for this requirement, we have only changed the modeling from line items to dimension. We propose keeping common practice reference to paragraph 93H because that disaggregation reflects common reporting practice, not a disclosure requirement. Do you have any comments or concerns on it?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, slide number 11, change 1.3. We proposed to create percentage type elements for change in unobserved an implementation note to explain that it could not be used to tag change in input reflected in percentage points. Percentage points changes are referred as type 4 on slide 8. We did not propose for percentage points change as these were not found common in our review. There were no major disagreements related to this proposal, but Merrill suggested an editorial change to the implementation note. We agree with the suggestion as mentioned on slide 11. Do you have any comments or concerns on it?
Thank you.
So there were two, I would say, editorial changes that we are planning to introduce. They will be included in the files and the final document that we are planning to publish. Anybody has any concerns related to those editorial changes?
I'm seeing slide 11. And what's there on slide 11 is not the final wording, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's on slide 12. Does that address your comments? Do you think that makes sense?
There's slide 12. I like the downside is it says the new language says 2 percentage points, which really doesn't have the 2%. In other words, the 2 and the percentage sign, which is entered as 0.02. I mean, somebody may enter this as the number 2 for 2 percentage point increase. I think this is okay. The suggested way, I think, is a little more clear, but this isn't unclear. So, my point is I don't think anybody discloses this by saying the number 2 and then the words percentage point increase. I think generally the disclosure is, you know, for example, 2 with the percentage sign, percent increase in an 8% discount rate. However, I'm okay with this the way it's written because it is very clear to say a 2 and then spell the words out for percentage point increase. Okay. So I see the upside and the downside to it.
Would this be driven because I think we set that it's a percentage item type, isn't it? So if it's a percentage item type, then XBRL drives to some extent already how you need to enter the value.
Yeah.
Correct? Because either we could say, look, it's driven a percentage item type needs to be entered in XBRL, or we could put in an implementation label saying, look, needs to be entered as a value of blah, blah, blah in an XBRL filing.
I think this implementation note, or at least the aim of this implementation note, was just to make sure that people do not confuse those two types of the values that we found common. And we proposed one to be covered by the element, and we just wanted to make sure that people, if people disclose the other type, which is the percentages element. So I think that was the... I think that was the only aim, and we didn't mean to clarify how in XBRL an entity should enter this amount, but I agree that this is, I don't know, maybe let us think about it a little bit more. But since you don't disagree, we will consider your comment and see if there is
right.
Anything else that we should be doing here on to this, decide on the spot.
Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree. And your point is that we don't want someone to enter it the other way, and that's very clear the way it's done. Okay.
Thank you, Luke. Does anybody else have any comments on those two changes? Okay, I'm assuming not. So let's move to the next change that we that we have proposed in proposed taxonomy update. As a result of the common practice analysis, we have proposed adding line items for the increase or decrease in the words separately between the effect on profit or loss and other comprehensive income. And in addition, to deep dive into it and then show the distinction between tax. As we mentioned in the proposed taxonomy update, we have done it because we found that entities commonly disclose the effect of change in fair value on profit or loss and OCI. Even though we didn't find maybe the common reporting practice according to our process for the changes between before and after tax, we still thought that if we only include elements that do not distinguish, that might actually mislead investors. We will either use our elements to tag two different values, or they will create extensions. So then the whole effort of avoiding extensions by including elements be lost. So we did receive comments on it, and both respondents were concerned that the proposed changes might not be consistent with IFRS 13. Actually, this is something that we did consider before including those changes in the proposed taxonomy update. We do think that IFRS 13 is not clear about what kind of effect is related to the statement of financial position or whether it's statement of financial performance. We did find that it is common. So what we thought is we still would like to include those elements, what we thought we would do based on the comment received from the GFRC, because they said what would the before or after tax mean, because in the IFRS 13 there are different types of taxes that will be included or excluded in fair value. So what we wanted to do is in tax income expense that is an element in IFRS taxonomy to make it a little bit clearer what kind of tax effect we do mean. And we still think that the objective of avoiding specific elements is quite important in this situation, so we wanted to include those elements. Do you have any comments or questions regarding that proposal?
So this is Ashok. So let me understand correctly. What you saying that we should have both elements before and after tax?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Then I don't have any comment. Perfect. Then I don't have any comment at all, because it's all, you know, I actually seen it. Many filers, they have the various different filers have different things. They put the line item. Then the effect of the, this would work perfectly well for a lot of, you know, the filers. So that's very good.
Yeah, so again, for this kind of reporting, we wanted to make sure that entities do not need to create extensions or entity-specific elements, and that's why we thought that including those elements is quite helpful, and IFRS 13 is not clear what changes entities need to. So we thought it is not inconsistent with our presentation.
Very good. I agree with you. Fantastic. So if within my analysis, which I will show you next week when I come over there, quite a lot of extension was related to this OCI thing, because it's so confusing before and after tax. And obviously, the filers don't make everything clear within that label, or even the, you know, the. So it's very good. So as long as we have before and after tax, that will work very nicely.
Thank you, Ashok. Anybody else has any comments? Lo, any?
Yeah, there's of course something I want to add, but this is a. The way it's done is very clear. I think not a lot of the after tax. In other words, I believe most of the disclosures are before tax, because that's the way. should work.
Thank you. Yeah, I think analyze the comments. We couldn't really identify how many companies do one or the other. We just saw that some are doing one way and some are doing the other way. So we just wanted to make sure that we have elements, both options. Anybody else? Any comments or questions? Okay. So with that, I think we are going to move to the next section. So the sensitive analysis was analyzed as a whole, and now we would move to the quantitative information about significant observable inputs used in fair value measurement.
Okay. Change 2.1, slide 18. We propose to add 4 new elements for significant unobservable input. We noted that there could be some overlap between this existing element for interest rate and proposed element for discount rate. Slide 19. Merrill agreed with the proposal, while GFRC was concerned that the terms are often used as synonyms and suggested clarifying the difference between these two terms. We analyzed some financial statements and found that discount rate is typically used as an input for valuation techniques. Based on present us, we propose to clarify that in the documentation label as mentioned on slide 19. Do you have any comments or concerns on it?
So this is again editorial corrections. We went back to check if there is any additional information we can provide regarding the distinction between discount rate, and we have found this additional piece of information that we can include for the common practice element that we have added related to the discount rate. So I'm assuming everyone is okay with it. And then there was a part related to any other proposed improvements related to IFRS 13 for different disclosures. So this one is related to exchange rate differences. IFRS 13 requires an entity to split the effects on profit and loss and OCI of any gains and loss of the fair value measurement. On next slide, you can see the common reporting practice. Entities often show the exchange rate differences as separately from gains and losses, recognizing profit or losses, recognizing profit or loss, and OCI. So as a consequence of that, we have considered two approaches. One, which is very similar to what the common reporting practice was, a result of our analysis of how exchange rate differences should be considered in terms of the elements that are already required by IFRS 13. And we have those exchange rate differences are a type of gains and losses, and therefore they should be considered as part of the requirement that is splitting them between the profit or loss and OCI. And as you can see, this is So we have received some disagreement on this proposal, and I think the main reason for that disagreement is that inclusion. So because you saw that what we have proposed is a little bit different in terms of presentation to what people often present, there was some confusion or there was concern related to the wrong elements and instead of the newly created elements that they should be using, they will be using the elements that we already have simply because the label is similar. So what we applied is the proposal to amend a label of a disclosure requirement. So in essence, people will know now explicitly whether this gains or losses is the one that is included. It will be easier for them to pick the element that will be easier for them to pick the element that is appropriate to reflect the disclosures that they are doing. So again, I would ask for questions. Do you think that questions? Do you think that addresses the concern appropriately?
I have no. I have no problem with tagging correctly with the way you propose doing it. I'm just concerned about others who don't look close enough at the tags that have been created. But mm-hmm. That's, I guess, the job of someone tagging is look closely at the tags that are created. So, again, what you've done is appropriate. It's not incorrect. It's very thorough and explains the tags in quite a bit, quite a bit of nice long detail, and I don't mind that either. I'll just say I prefer the one that got rejected simply because it seems more consistent with the way that I've seen it presented most times. But I'm not going to say that the way you've done it is wrong or incorrect. It's spelled out very well.
Yeah, we do acknowledge that probably those people that show that presentation. And also when we looked at it, we can see how people might be confused by, just using similar label, and by that the presentation is not very similar. Now we are hoping that by clarifying the labels, people will not get confused and will not, if we clarify the label that it is including exchange rate differences, if it does exclude them, I guess they won't use that element. And I think the proposal of removing that element, we thought about it as well, but as mentioned on the slide, we need a requirement, and we need to reflect the requirements of the IFRS standards in the IFRS taxonomy, so we couldn't really remove the element that is reflecting the requirement. So we were trying to find some middle ground. And I think Ashok wanted to comment on it as well.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think this is very good because now you're separating two things. Some, the filers, they even don't write even including exchange difference. So this is much better, I think, in my opinion, really good. So the way you have done, that is pretty good. Separating the elements of, the exchange difference. And then gain and loss is very good. I agree with that one. I have no issue at all. Very good.
Any comments or questions on this one? Okay, so we move to the next one.
Yes. P6 shows the existing IFRS taxonomy elements to disclose transfers between different levels of fair value hierarchy. Slide 27. There are no transfers between different levels of fair value hierarchy. Slide 28. Merrill suggested not to add these two text elements at this time. Rather, they suggested to undertake further efforts to add these elements as Boolean elements. We suggest continuing with our proposal as these elements were created to reflect common reporting practice, and if we do not add such elements, company may create extensions. Further, as explained in the PTU, once we decide to add Boolean type elements in the taxonomy, we can change all the affected elements at once. Do you have any comments or questions on that?
We don't want to add Boolean elements now, which are the yes, no type answer. Mm-hmm. Consider the policy of creating Boolean elements because by using the string tag, someone still has to read that disclosure. disclosure in the old-fashioned way as opposed to a more quick way of consuming it by, you know, computer-based consumption, you would know by the yes-no whether that, you know, is there or not.
Mm. Yeah, I think by this proposal, disagree that it might be a good idea, it's it's just we don't want to hold off with those elements if we already found them common. Our process is saying if we find element common, we should just add them to the IFRS taxonomy. But this is on our list to consider, I think, or improvements to the IFRS taxonomy together with any ideas that you've also mentioned related to common practice. So to think about as any other improvements to the IFRS taxonomy and to the features that we include in the IFRS taxonomy. But at this stage, we just didn't want to hold off with including those elements. But as we introduce the possibly sometime in the future, we will just go through the IFRS taxonomy and change all of the elements consistently to have it consistent in the IFRS taxonomy. Thank you for reminding us about that.
Yeah, fine. And I agree. It's better to add the two elements than to do nothing.
Yeah.
But, yep, please consider the Boolean in the near future.
Well, thank you, Lou. So we have received other comments on the IFRS taxonomy. There are questions in the to labels and the documentation labels whether they appropriately reflect the intended meaning of the element. And also we have a question related to a bit of an open question related to any other common practice analysis may be useful for us to undertake in the future. So we have received some comments on the labels, mainly from the GFRC. They considered labels not being that important. They mentioned that references and the implementation guidance probably would be more helpful in making sure that the appropriate elements are chosen. We have also received some idea for consideration to make sure that it is easier to see what documentation labels are being changed when people are reviewed. We think it's a good idea and we will consider how to implement that in the future to make sure that whenever people want to comment on it will be easier for them to find the ones that are. We have also received some comment on the future common practice analysis, that it might be a good idea to analyze the extensions of the IFRS filing submitted to the CC. There is also an idea related to equity opening balance adjustment at transition to different IFRSs. This is something that we discussed in the past. There was a comment to the Business Exchange Board of India related to a different standard where we had a requirement to require that element but not presented, and therefore we didn't include it in the IFRS taxonomy. Any other comments that we have received? Future common practice projects, we will check them all together. We will also analyze the IF, will consider which one of them it would be best to undertake in the future and what should be our priority. This is still something that we will do in the future. We haven't finalized it yet, but under control and we will come back with the ideas at some point in the future. Do we have any questions or comments on those parts? Okay. So I'll just quickly highlight the other comments that we have received. There was a comment related to concern about the process of analyzing common reporting practice, and it's very similar to the one that we've already discussed related to the potential overlap between the discount rate and interest rate between different elements when we analyze a financial statement because of different elements when we analyze a financial statement because obviously labels in the printed financial statement might be misleading or they might not provide all the information. So the response we wanted to highlight that when we analyze information, the printed financial statements, we do not only read labels, we read all the information that is available related to what might be included in those elements. We decide whether this element is the same or whether it is different. In addition, I think it's worth highlighting that our practice for analyzing the common reporting practice will change a little bit in the future because we will not need to only rely on the printed financial statements, but now we will have the electronically tagged financial statements. So there will be already some judgment involved because people will need to choose the element, create those elements that are extensions, So it will be easier for us to distinguish whether the elements are really created because there is no element in the IFRS taxonomy or whether this should be common reporting practice. We have received some additional comments on potential other improvements to the IFRS taxonomy. There was a suggestion that the presentation link base maybe should reflect more of a reporting practice, rather than the requirements of the IFRS standards, because then it might be easier for people to choose the appropriate element. I think at that stage, IFRS standards, that was the basic premise for building the IFRS taxonomy. And we think it is easier than to find the appropriate elements because then it's matching with the references. IFRS are using the IFRS standards, as a basis for presentation of their IFRS financial statements. It might be easier than for them to go back. Reporting practice varies, so it might be also difficult to pick the one practice that will be a practice varies. So it might be also difficult to pick the one practice that will be that we will be able to present in the IFRS taxonomy. We also have the existing ISB projects and just making sure that we are aware of that interaction and we are involved within that interaction, and that is mainly related to the primary finance and the project related to targeted standards level review of standards and with that common practice that we have done. There are some concerns about how drafted, and we just wanted to make sure. Even though we didn't have those discussions in public, we are discussing internally any findings that we are having and any possible interactions in the future, whenever we feel we are ready and it is appropriate to discuss it at the public forum. We also have received a recommendation to provide more examples as just being more understanding the IFRS taxonomy, they highlighted the importance of the appropriate implementation. Here we just wanted to mention we are providing as many examples as possible right now, but we obviously will consider if there is any additional need for doing so. In terms of the implementation, again, we have already published the preparer's guide, which we are going to talk about the improvements today. And we have introduced implementation notes in the general improvements this year, which again, we hope it will help preparers identify appropriate elements. But obviously we are always open to any other ideas and any other recommendations that people might have, might be useful in using the IFRS taxonomy or understanding the IFRS taxonomy. So we thank you very much for all the comments. So with that, any comments or questions on that section related to general comments?
I think they don't have any questions, Isa. anything else on your side for the first agenda topic?
No, I think with the first agenda topic, that is it. So feedback that we have received from you, we will continue with the finalization of the taxonomy update, and we will include all the changes in the annual taxonomy 2019.